Your ability to develop and use your inborn creativity will determine your success in life as much or more than any other single factor. Idea generation requires disciplined, concentrated effort, which is why most people don't do it. Each time you focus your mind on solving a problem and come up with an idea or an insight, you actually experience a positive feeling of excitement, energy, and joy. Using your creativity systematically gives you a greater sense of control over your life, boosts your self-esteem, and moves you ahead toward achieving your goals. Creativity is vital to your success. Why is it that the great majority function with little or no creativity at all? We've all heard the statistic that the average person uses less than 10% of his or her mental capacity. Well, recent research at Stanford University suggests that it is closer to 2%, surely not more than 5%. Even if you are using 10% of your mental abilities, it means that compared to what you could be, you are only enjoying a small part of your existing potential. Children tested between the ages of 2 and 4 test out at 95% highly creative. When the same children are tested later, at age 7, only 4% of them are still highly creative. Between the ages of 4 and 7, children who are naturally curious, and by the way, curiosity is a hallmark of creativity, are told over and over to stop asking so many questions, never mind why, just do as I say, and so on. Eventually, the young child, wanting and needing the love and approval of his or her parents, decides that if you want to get along, you better go along. The innate curiosity and creativity is stifled, and the child begins to conform in order to be free of criticism and the feelings of guilt and inferiority caused by criticism. As adults, most people resist change, fear new things, avoid asking questions, and stick rigidly to the established ways. They say things like, "That's not for me, don't rock the boat, that's the way we've always done it, and why bother?" The two major obstacles to creative thinking are, first, homeostasis, which means clinging to the status quo, or trying to continue acting and thinking in habitual ways, as I just mentioned. The second is psychosclerosis, which is a hardening of the attitudes, evidenced in rigidness of thinking and the refusal to consider alternatives. This is often called black-white thinking because people with psychosclerosis see most issues as pairs of opposites, as either or, with very little gray area allowed in between. You can tell how open and flexible your thinking is by seeing how easily you can make 3 statements or admissions. How easily can you say this? I was wrong. I made a mistake. Especially to your children, to your spouse, and to your subordinates. How easily can you say, I changed my mind. I've thought it over, and I've changed my mind. And how easily can you say, I don't know. Or, I don't know, but I'll find out. You see, the more easily you can admit that you made a mistake or changed your mind or don't know, the more innovative and creative you will be. The less time and energy you will spend protecting and defending the past. And you can improve by practicing these 3 statements. Say them over and over until they flow naturally out of you. However, Einstein said, every child is born a genius. You were born a genius. And the wonderful thing about your genius is that you still have it. Creativity is your natural birthright. It is as much a part of you as your heart and lungs. It doesn't die with lack of use. It simply goes into hibernation. And you can wake it up and activate it in your life whenever you do. You are a genius, now, today. And the very first step to performing like a genius is to accept the fact that deep inside you lies a vast storehouse of wisdom, intelligence, and creativity that you habitually fail to use. Thomas Edison said, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." Developing your genius requires hard, systematic work. And Edison also said, "There is no expedient to which a man will not go to avoid the real labor of thinking." Remember, you cannot achieve more just by working longer, harder hours. You must also work smarter. Intelligence is not simply IQ. Intelligence is a way of acting when confronting problems. Many geniuses have ordinary IQs. They are geniuses because they use their minds better than others do. There are basically 3 qualities of genius. First, geniuses have an open, almost childlike mind. They are receptive to many different ways of exploring a problem. They engage in what is called divergent thinking, and they let their minds consider many approaches to a solution. Non-geniuses, on the other hand, tend to leap to conclusions, do the obvious, and consider only 1 or 2 ways of approaching a problem. The second quality of genius is the ability to concentrate intensely, single-mindedly, without diversion or distraction, on 1 thing at a time, bringing all their mental powers to bear on 1 issue, like a laser beam cutting through steel. Non-geniuses, on the other hand, try to do several things at once, seldom concentrate, and accomplish very little. They make poor decisions and many mistakes because they don't think things through before acting. Peter Drucker once said, "Action without thinking is the cause of every failure." The reverse of this, of course, is that action with thinking is the cause of every success. The third quality of genius is the ability to approach every problem systematically, using an orderly process to reach sound, well-thought-out conclusions. In our seminars, we have found that thousands of people who thought themselves lacking in creativity began performing like geniuses or near geniuses when they began to use the systematic methods of problem solving that geniuses use. I'm going to share some of these methods with you, but first, let me mention some very important points with regard to creative thinking. Your creative mind is always available, but creativity favors the relaxed mind. The more positive you are, the greater will be the quantity and quality of ideas you come up with. The more you laugh when you're working on a problem, the more likely it is for you to come up with unique ideas and insights. Conversely, tension, stress, anxiety, fear actually shut down large parts of the brain, leaving you only the emotional functions with which to think. And emotional thinking is usually poor, often disastrous, so try to stay calm, positive, and relaxed when solving a problem. One very powerful method that works wonders is to look for the good in each difficulty you face, or look for something funny in the situation. Confidently expect to find something positive in any adversity or setback, even just a valuable lesson. This exercise really works and will help you to be more creative and more constructive in any situation. Creativity is stimulated by three things: intensely desired goals, pressing problems, and focused questions. Each of these brings about mental clarity and activates your creative mind. So let's talk about the first for a second, intensely desired goals. If you want something badly enough, you will find a way to get it. That's why the more clear you are about your goals, the more ideas come to you to reach them. In fact, you should look upon your creative abilities as the vehicle or means to get you from where you are now to where you want to be in the future. What do you really want? Can you describe it in detail? What would be the ideal result or goal for you? What do you have to do to move from here to there? What obstacles stand in your way right now? Of the obstacles blocking your path, which is the biggest? If you could remove just one obstacle, which would make the greatest contribution toward achieving your most important goal? Now, here's systematic method number one, described by Earl Nightingale in his wonderful audio cassette program, Lead the Field. First, write out your most important problem or obstacle in the form of a question at the top of a blank sheet of paper. You can use this method anytime, but first thing in the morning is best. It starts your creative juices flowing for the whole day. For example, your goal may be to earn $30,000 per year. Your question would be, what can I do to earn $30,000 per year? Then, write out 20 answers to your question and stay at it until you have the full 20 answers. Often, answer number 20 will be worth more than all the other 19 answers put together. Then, select one of your answers or solutions and implement it immediately. You can implement as many as you have time for, but be sure to go to work on at least one. This simple exercise will give you clarity, focus, and energy, and more people have become wealthy using this 20-idea method, what I call mindstorming, than by any other single method of creative thinking. It actually works wonders. Your problem may be lack of contacts, need for specific information or education, better time management, needing the cooperation of others. Whatever it is, this 20-idea method will astonish you with the number of good ideas you will discover within your own mind. Unlocking your amazing mind to achieve goals or solve problems always begins with clarity and decisiveness. The more clear you are about what you want, the more rapidly your mind will go to work to bring it to you. Another simple mind-storming exercise you can use is to first write out a clear answer to the question, what am I trying to achieve, avoid, or preserve? Be as specific as possible. Then, quickly write down every detail of the problem. Often, the exact answer you're looking for will emerge as you write. When a problem or obstacle is more complex or not amenable to a quick solution, here is a powerful, systematic method you can use alone or in conjunction with others. It has 9 simple steps. Step 1, approach the problem as though there were a simple, logical solution just waiting to be uncovered. This attitude of confident expectation keeps the mind positive and enhances creativity. We have found that all people who are effective in solving problems simply assume that there's a logical answer, and then they go to work to find it or to uncover it. Step 2. Use positive language. The language that you choose affects the way that you think and how clearly you think about any issue. Instead of the word problem, which is a negative word, use the word situation, which is a neutral word. Or better yet, use challenge, which is a positive word, or even better, opportunity. And within every problem or difficulty, there is often an opportunity or an advantage if you can find it. For example, instead of, "This is an interesting problem facing us," say, "This is an interesting challenge facing us." Just the word challenge causes you to rise to it in a more positive and more creative way. Step 3. Ask, what exactly is the situation? Define it clearly in writing. As they say in medicine, accurate diagnosis is 50% of the cure. Probably half of the problems or situations that you wrestle with in the course of a day can be defined if you'll simply define them accurately. And most people who are frustrated and unhappy in dealing with problems usually have a very unclear idea of what it is that they're contending with. Step 4. Ask, what are all the possible reasons or causes for this situation? Now, this is an extremely important step because if you do not remove the causes, you may solve the particular situation, but you will leave the causes in place and the situation will repeat itself. And wherever you see a situation that occurs over and over again, what it means is that the causative factors have not been dealt with even though a temporary solution has been implemented. Step 5, ask, what are all the possible solutions? And the very best way is to think on paper. Ask yourself, what are the many different ways that we can solve this? Look at the obvious solutions. Look at the opposite of the obvious solutions. Raise prices, lower prices, work harder, work smarter, increase advertising, decrease advertising, and so on. Very often, the exact opposite of your natural tendency will be the very best thing to do. Step 6, make a decision. Often, any decision is better than no decision. Develop the habit of decisiveness. As soon as you make a decision, you begin to get feedback, which enables you to correct the decision and gives you more feedback, which enables you to continue to correct. And the very most successful people in every field are decisive. Losers are indecisive. Losers vacillate and engage in paralysis by analysis. But all winners make decisions quickly and move ahead and begin getting feedback. Step 7, assign specific responsibility. Who exactly is going to carry out the decision? If it's you, accept the responsibility. If it's someone else, make it very clear to them what they're expected to do. Step 8, set a deadline for completion. Now, this is very important. If you have not set a timeline and made your decision time-specific, all you've simply done is had an interesting discussion, but you have not solved the situation or the problem. And finally, step 9, take action as soon as possible. Get going, get busy, get to work on it. One of the things that we have found over and over again that the surest way to deal with a major problem is to bring all your energies to bear on it as soon as you possibly can and stay with it nonstop until the problem is resolved, instead of picking away at it a bit at a time and coming back to it over and over. This method, this systematic method we've just discussed, is easy to apply, and regular use of this systematic approach will sharpen your mind and greatly improve the quality and quantity of ideas you generate. Remember, your creative capacity is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger, more elastic, more flexible, more serviceable it becomes for you. Finally, if you can't solve your problem using the methods we've discussed, here are some focused questions you can pose to stimulate creativity. Here's one of my favorites. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? And number 2, how are you trying to do it? How are you going about accomplishing what you're trying to do? Remember, if you're pursuing a particular course of action, you have nothing but problems along that course of action, it may indicate that the course of action or the plan is incorrect. Question 3, what are your basic assumptions? What are you assuming? What are your assumptions, both your conscious and your unconscious assumptions? Number 4, could they be wrong? Incorrect assumptions lie at the root of every failure. Whenever you find yourself experiencing frustration in achieving a particular goal, almost invariably you have made incorrect assumptions, and you have to go back into the past, back into the history of the situation, and say, what assumptions have we made here? One of the most common assumptions that companies make is that there is enough of a market for their products for them to be able to manufacture, produce, and sell them at a profit. They assume that because there is a market, there is a large market. They assume because some people like the product and consume it, enough people will like it and consume it to make it financially viable. Sometimes in questioning that assumption, they realize that a large company or any company cannot afford to produce a product for which there's a limited market. Question 5, what if you did exactly the opposite of what you are doing right now? Consider doing exactly the opposite of your current course of action, and then think about doing the opposite of that. And very often, you'll come up with some very creative ways to approach the situation. Use what we call zero-based thinking during your problem-solving exercises. Be willing to draw a line under everything you're doing today and imagine starting over with a clear slate, knowing what you now know. What would you do differently? What would you change? What would you get into or get out of? Most of all, what are you going to do about it? When are you going to do it? Your whole life lies ahead of you. Your key to success, wealth, happiness, and personal fulfillment lies in tapping your creative capability. Here are 7 points to remember on creativity. 1, as long as there are people's needs unmet and human problems unsolved, there are opportunities for you to innovate and move ahead. 2, all you need to do is be 10% new in any field to start a fortune. Continually look for ways to improve what is being done. By doing it faster, cheaper, better, easier, improvements of any kind offer great opportunity. 3, creativity begins with you. Look under your own feet. Seek your own acres of diamonds right where you are. Look into yourself for the solutions to the dilemmas that you face every day. 4, creativity favors the prepared mind. Read continually in your field. Research, study, take courses. Attend trade shows and seminars. Sure, it's time-consuming and hard work. That's why failures never do it. 5, to increase your income, look continually for new ways to give people what they want. Look at what your competition is doing successfully. Learn from them. Copy them if necessary, and then do it better. 6, cherish your mistakes and learn from your failures. They contain valuable lessons that you will need to be successful. Approach every problem or difficulty as though it were sent to make you smarter and stronger. 7, finally, learn to trust your intuition. Take time each day to go into the silence and listen to the still small voice within. Men and women become great by attending to their inner voices, their intuitions, their finer instincts. Trust yourself. Remember that you are a genius to the degree to which you accept your genius and act the part, applying your wonderful mind to the challenges and opportunities that confront you every day. Everything you are or ever will be is up to you. You are the master of your own fate, the architect of your own destiny. You are self-made, completely responsible for the quality of your life and for your results. If you are willing to go to work on yourself, there is nothing that can stop you. And if you are not, there's nothing that can help you. The principle of self-development is one of the vital keys to the psychology of success. Self-development requires self-discipline, hard work, and persistence. It builds character, ability, and self-esteem. The more you work on yourself, the more you like and respect and believe in yourself, the more self-confidence you have, the greater the feeling of personal fulfillment you experience. Charles Garfield, the founder of Peak Performance Research, found that the key motivator for peak performers was the training, the practice, the skill development, the personal improvement. He says that peak performance is a matter of nurture, not nature. Peak performers in every field are made, not born. Men and women who accomplish great things with their lives are not necessarily better or smarter or more gifted than others. They are usually just individuals who have made the efforts necessary to develop their potentials to a greater degree than the ordinary. The wonderful thing about our free society is that you can become just about anything you really want if you are willing to pay the price in terms of hard work on yourself. There is no limit to how far you can go except for the limits you place on yourself. Unfortunately, most people are too lazy and undisciplined to give up their socializing and television and go to work on themselves. A sports coach told me recently, "It's not the will to win that counts. It's the will to prepare to win that makes the difference." I once read a quote from Abraham Lincoln that had a profound effect on my life. It was written in his diary as a young man in Springfield. It said, I will study and prepare myself, and someday my chance will come. I will study and prepare myself, and someday my chance will come. And in school, there was a poem about Lincoln and the manner in which people in Springfield had written him off because of his failures in business and in politics. I still remember the last verse of that poem. It said, "And so they went on talking, knowing and yet not knowing. Lincoln was the green pine. Lincoln kept on growing." If you study and prepare yourself, your chance will come too. When? When you're ready. How do you know when you're ready? Because when you are, the immutable law of attraction will draw the people and circumstances you need into your life. You will meet people unexpectedly who will enable you to utilize your knowledge. You will get phone calls and letters in the mail. You will come across articles and advertisements that lead you to use your skills and abilities. One of the most important of the mental laws is the law of correspondence, which says, as within, so without. Your outer life will always be a reflection of your inner life. Your outer circumstances in every area will correspond with your inner world. Your material financial world will reflect the quality and quantity of preparation you have engaged in, like a mirror. There is another law, the law of accumulation, which says that no honest effort is ever lost. Instead, every effort, small or large, accumulates and grows like a snowball rolling down a hill. Every act of delayed gratification, discipline, and self-development counts for something. Every extraordinary accomplishment is preceded by thousands of hours of ordinary preparation. Just as a spring becomes a trickle becomes a brook, brooks create streams, and finally many streams create an enormous river that flows inexorably, unstoppably, carrying everything before it to the sea. So it is with self-development. Every achievement that is recognized and applauded is preceded by countless small efforts, failures, disappointments, and setbacks that no one ever sees. George Bernard Shaw wrote for over 20 years and sold his first piece after the age of 40. He went on to become one of the greatest playwrights of the English language. Lech Walesa, the Polish labor leader who won the Nobel Peace Prize, worked in the back rooms and factories in union organization for over 20 years before his chance came to climb the fence of a struck factory in Gdansk, Poland, late at night, and lead the formation of Solidarity, a feat that earned the admiration of the world. Personally, and the reason I'm so excited about this subject, is that self-development over many years has brought me from being a high school dropout with no skills, no contacts, and no job, to the presidency of a $2 million a year company, which I started from nothing in the middle of a recession. It can be the same for you. You can learn whatever you need to be successful. There is more information available today to help you to be more effective than has ever before existed. The smartest and most successful men and women who ever lived have poured the best of everything they know into books, tapes, seminars, and video cassettes. Some of the most valuable information on succeeding in any field is available to you in exchange for a few dollars and some hard, hard work. Would you like to double your income? How about increasing your income 10 times, 1,000%? Would you like that? If I can show you a simple formula that is virtually guaranteed to work to double, triple, quadruple your income, would you try it? Most people will say yes, but only about 1 in 20, according to my experience, will actually do it. Here it is, simple formula, but first, a simple question. Do you believe it is possible for you to increase your effectiveness and improve your productivity by 2% over the next month, the next 30 days? Do you think that by reading, studying, learning, upgrading your skills, managing your time a little better, working smarter as well as harder, you could boost your overall effectiveness and productivity by 0.5% per week, 2% in 1 month? Let me put it this way. Could you do it if your life depended on it? Of course you could. One or two small changes in your daily routine, a little bit better time management, a little bit more effectiveness in your key result areas could give you a 2% improvement. Now, having done it the first month, could you do it again the second month, 2% more? How about the third month? Could you, by working steadily on yourself a little bit each day, managing your time a little better, improving your overall productivity, could you increase your performance and your effectiveness by 2% in the third month? Of course you could. Almost anyone could if they cared enough to apply themselves. In fact, by the third month, you would be into the swing of personal development and performance improvement, and it would be easier to achieve your 2% increment than it was the first month. You get onto a learning curve. Well, 2% per month, compounded, translates into 26% per year. 26% per year productivity improvement through personal development, skill enhancement, and additional training is a reasonable, believable, even modest but surely attainable goal. 26% per year compounded will equal 100% improvement in 3 years, 1,000% improvement in 10 years. And as the value of your service improves, your rewards will follow. This simple 2% formula can be the most important success formula you ever learn. I've taught it to thousands of commission salespeople. Many of them have used it to double their income in less than a year. One man, a 17-year veteran in his field of sales, tripled his income in 27 days using this formula. Now, here's how it works. You, first of all, determine your aim. Do you really want to achieve great financial success in your work? Do you want it badly enough to pay the price in terms of preparation? Assuming the answer is yes, here's what you do. First of all, you stop or dramatically cut back on all those activities that do not contribute anything to your life. I'm referring to the time wasters, such as television. The average adult in America spends 3 to 4 hours a night watching television. Newspapers. The average adult in America spends 1 to 3 hours reading newspapers every day. Useless magazines. And aimless socializing. Then, become an avid reader. Reading is to the mind as exercise is to the body. Reading is vital to your success. Not only does it require total concentration, but you learn things by reading that you cannot learn any other way. There is no substitute for it. Surprisingly, the average adult American reads less than one book per year. 58% of Americans never finish a nonfiction book after they leave high school. Probably 80% of the books sold in all the bookstores are purchased by 20% of the population. And, of course, it's the top 20%. The Gallup organization recently completed a study of 1,500 people listed in Marquis's Who's Who's in America and wrote it into a book called The Great American Success Story. They studied men and women considered by their peers to be among the most important contributors to life in this country. They found that these people, among other things, read an average of 20 books per year, 12 books, nonfiction, and 8 fiction, and they considered their self-development to be a vital factor in their success. And, of course, they were right. In fact, if you read just one book per month to develop or improve yourself in some way, it will put you in the top 1% in terms of personal development. If you read one book per week, which you can do if you read 1 hour per day, that will translate into 52 books per year, 520 books over 10 years. If you read 520 books to improve yourself and enhance your effectiveness at work, in a world where the average person reads less than one book per year, do you think it might give you the edge, the critical, winning edge that makes all the difference between success and failure? You bet it would. One book per week would so change the course of your life in a positive way that you would be astonished, and it won't take 10 years. You'll begin to see significant changes in the quality of your life and your results within months, sometimes within weeks, sometimes within days. Well, you begin by getting up each morning 2 hours before your first appointment or before you have to be at work, earlier if necessary. Then, instead of reading newspapers or watching television, spend 30 to 60 minutes reading something educational, inspirational, or motivational. Spend the first golden hour of the day feeding your mind with mental protein, not mental candy. Then, before you leave the house, rewrite your major goals and a brief description of your goals for the day. I use a spiral notebook. You can use anything you like. Just a few lines take you a couple of minutes to rewrite those goals and impress them into your mind. This exercise activates your subconscious and gives you a sense of purpose and focus for the hours ahead. Next, and this is very important, listen to educational audio cassettes during traveling time. In your car if you drive, with a portable Walkman if you use public transportation, or if you're flying. The average car owner drives 12,000 to 25,000 miles per year. This is as many as 500 to 1,000 hours per year in the car. This translates into 12.5 to 25 40-hour weeks sitting in the car behind the wheel, enjoying prime learning time. This is the equivalent of 1 to 2 university semesters. You can become one of the best educated, most highly motivated, well-informed people of our society simply by listening to audio cassettes in your car. Audio cassette learning has rightly been called the most important development in education since the invention of the printing press, and I agree. I have gotten so much out of audio cassette programs by some of the finest thinkers, writers, and speakers alive in America today that I cannot estimate the value. I would say that it has been worth easily $100,000 to me just simply listening to audio cassette programs, and I know many people who will say it's worth far more. If you're not listening to audio cassettes in your car continually, you're missing hundreds of hours of prime learning time, and every hour you miss is going to cost you in lost earnings and diminished potential. The third leg of the triangle of self-development, the first two are reading and listening to audio cassettes, is courses and seminars put on by people who have achieved success in the subjects they are talking about. And this is important. Many people feel that university courses are an extremely important part of moving ahead or furthering your career, but what I have found in my years at the university is most of the courses are theoretical, taught by people who have no practical experience whatever and are simply teaching out of a textbook. This is not to denigrate university education, but it is certainly not a substitute for practical knowledge and practical experience. Attend at least 4 seminars or courses per year, 1 every 3 months. Take all the training you can get and never stop learning. If your company supplies you with training opportunities, take every single one of them. And if your company does not, remember, you are totally 100% responsible for your ongoing education. The whole purpose of an education, even up to university level, is simply to teach you how to learn. From then on, it's up to you to apply the lessons. I think that the major difference between winners and losers is their attitude towards spending money on improving themselves. Winners recognize that they are their most precious asset. I saw a sign the other day that said that 90% of your assets are standing in your shoes right now, and that it is the quality of their thinking that more than anything else determines the quality of their lives. Winners are always investing in improving the quality of their thinking and the quality of their knowledge. They recognize that the functioning of their mind more than anything else is going to determine everything that happens to them, and they're always working on achieving a higher level of mental fitness and mental preparedness. Remember, they say that luck is when preparedness meets opportunity. Winners in almost every field are characterized by the fact that they know more, that they have more practical knowledge acquired through study and experience than do the underachievers. It's as simple as that. Losers always make excuses for not investing in themselves. You've probably all heard the things they say. They say things like, "I can't afford it," which means, of course, that "I won't afford it." They usually have money for clothes and money for socializing and money for liquor and money for travel, but they don't have money to invest in their own minds. They say, "I don't have the time," which means, of course, that they won't make the time to invest in themselves. And the worst of all, they say, "I don't need that because I know all that stuff already." Most losers fall into the category of what they call the unconscious incompetent. This is the person who does not know and does not know that he does not know. The truly hopeless case, because he cannot be taught anything new. He falls into what they call the intelligence trap. He thinks because he or she is so intelligent that there is nothing that they could learn from a book or a tape or a seminar. And unfortunately, it is university graduates who fall into this intelligence trap the most readily. People with limited education are aware of how little they know relative to how much there is to learn, so they're continually seeking new information. But university graduates often think that they've learned everything there is to know and they stop reading when they leave campus. The bottom line of the losing mentality is that the loser does not believe in himself or herself. The loser doesn't believe that any efforts in self-development would change anything, so they don't even try. They look upon themselves as a company with stock that's going down in the market or going nowhere, and they're not about to invest in it. We said before that your true values and beliefs are always and only expressed in your actions. It is what you do, not what you say, not what you intend to do, but what you do each day that is the true expression of what you believe. Remember, a person who does not read is no better than a person who cannot read. A person who does not work on himself or herself is no better than a person who cannot. Ignorance is one of the greatest enemies of mankind, and today, in our wide-open society, ignorance is self-inflicted and inexcusable. Here are 7 final thoughts on personal development. Number 1. Begin right now, today, to become a perpetual learning machine. Read, study, listen to tapes, take courses continually. 1 hour per day study in any subject will make you an authority in 3 years, a national expert in 5, an international authority in 7. Number 2, remain teachable. Remain open, interested, curious. In all your life, you will never learn all there is to know about even one subject, even about yourself, for instance. Number 3, if you want to be successful, study success. Become an expert on success. Learn proven success methods from others so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Number 4, get around other successful people. Fly with eagles, don't scratch with turkeys. Learn from them. Ask their advice on what to do, what to read, what courses to take, what tapes to listen to, and be willing to help others with advice on success as you learn it. One of the things that I've found is that losers always encourage other people to lose, to waste time, to kill time and watch television and socialize, but winners always encourage other people to win, and they'll be generous with advice. Pick the most successful person that you know in your society and tell them you want 10 minutes worth of their time to get some advice on how to be successful, and they'll almost always give it to you. The losers are always too busy. Number 5, the human being is an organism, and if you're not growing with the input of new information and ideas, you're stagnating. Most people are stuck in a rut because they've stopped growing. Don't let this happen to you. When you stop taking in new information, your mind and your brain begin to atrophy, and you tend to fall into a state of lethargy and depression. It is new information that gets you out of it. Number 6, as Jim Rohn says in the audio cassette program, 7 Secrets of Wealth and Happiness, work at least as hard on yourself as you do on your job. Work at least as hard on yourself as you do on your job. Remember, you are your most valuable asset. And finally, number 7, the self-respect and self-confidence that comes as a result of learning and growing toward the fulfillment of your potential is the root source of self-esteem and self-worth. Personal development is your springboard to personal excellence and high achievement.